buckle your seatbelt and hold on. Where Nashville music scene comes alive, right where you are. You're listening to Notable Nashville Podcast with your host, Groove Dr. J. Don't miss a beat.
My name is Jess Wojo, and this is my new single, LA Paradise.
Everybody, thanks for tuning into Notable Nashville Podcast. Today's guest is Jess Wojo. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for playing that tune. That is a new one, the one that you just put out like last week.
Yes,
LA Paradise.
Exactly a week ago. Yes, or tomorrow.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So you don't have many singles out, but you maybe have like three or four right now on Spotify.
So this was number five.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you're releasing, are you planning for any kind of big album, or is it mostly singles right now?
So at this point, it's still mostly singles. I think just the way that releasing music has changed
so much
in the past couple of years, it makes more sense to still just be putting out singles and then continue to try to play gigs and get out there and, you know, do all that versus putting out a whole album at once.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So yeah, eventually I'd like to do probably an EP coming up, hopefully soon.
Okay.
But at this point, still just writing singles.
So I kind of want to get the context behind LA Paradise, because you live in Nashville, but did you spend a lot of time in LA?
No, not at all. I've been there once.
Oh, okay.
And then I wrote the song. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to get your backstory, because you grew up in upstate New York, is that right?
Yeah, so Buffalo area.
Buffalo, New York. Hills. Very cold over there.
Yes.
I've only been there one time, but it was cold when I was there.
Oh, yeah. And now I just rub it into my family all the time, too, where, like, I'll be sending pictures of me walking down the street in shorts, and my mom's like, it's snowing here.
So when did you actually make the move to Nashville?
So it would have been 5 years this month, actually.
Okay.
So yeah, I think day before St. Patrick's Day would have marked 5 years.
Happy anniversary.
So, thank you.
So you obviously enjoy living here, and
yeah,
What spawned the move just to focus on music? Or I know you have a full-time job as well, but
yep.
What spawned the move to Nashville?
Yeah, so I went to school in Rochester, New York, which is about an hour and a half from where I grew up. And I was kind of trying to do music there while I was working full-time post-college. But I knew that my best chances for working in music was going to be moving to a music city. Uh-huh. Closest option would have been New York City, but that still would have been 7 hours from where I grew up. And in terms of culture and cost of living and everything else, it seemed like Nashville would be the best fit. Yeah. So right before I, you know, had to make the decision, my dad and I came down here and toured and had a really cool time. And I know my background is kind of in, I grew up listening to country and Christian music, and Nashville's the hub for that. So even though that's not what I'm doing more the indie pop, but still I listen to a lot of those artists and know that they live here. Yeah. So it was all a ploy to just be best friends with Matt Kearney someday. So I thought Nashville would fit me the best, like culturally and everything else. So worked for 2 years in a restaurant, did the bartender thing, saved up my money, packed me and my dog in a beater car and drove down. So.
Yeah, I read that you have a lot of rescue animals.
I do, yeah. I have a dog and 2 cats, so Okay. It's kind of chaotic, but it's fun.
But thank you for saving the animals in need. Yeah, I have a coworker that always speaks about rescue animals. Like,
yeah.
Don't buy from a breeder, mm-hmm. You know, get a rescue.
Yep, I'm definitely that person. And times two, because I have a pit bull, so I'm also advocating for them a lot.
Guy likes the pits.
There's the best. Yeah. he's the cuddliest, sweetest dog you will ever meet. And it's actually my cats that are they're more aggressive than he will ever be. So
did I read that your dad was in, played Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar? Is it your childhood? You kind of auditioned with him?
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't audition with him, but when I was very young, he was touring with, a production of Jesus Christ Superstar. And so he and my mom both worked full time. And so a lot of times he would take me to the rehearsals when I was 4 or 5 years old. And so I got to see firsthand how that production was put on. And, it was a local theater, so he did all of his own. I don't know how much you know about the musical, but it's about Jesus, so there's a crucifixion scene, which would be scary for a 4-year-old. So he took me backstage and showed me how they do all the makeup, and he did all of his own makeup and stuff. So I was very involved in that from an early age. Uh-huh. And then when I was 8, I saw that the same theater was doing a production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which ironically is also a biblical story.
Yes.
And I remember we passed the theater and I saw the marquee and I was like, oh, that'd be cool. My dad was like, we can go in. And I was like, no, I'm too nervous. And we were almost home when I was like, oh man, I wish I had done it. I wish I could have had the courage to do it. And he just, without even hesitating, just turned the car around. We drove all the way back to the theater. We ran in, all the lights were off. But my dad knew the director because it was the same director that had done Jesus Christ Superstar with him. And so he was like, please just let her sing something and she'll be quick. So I got up and did a Phil Vassar song and got a role in the chorus. And that was the beginning of it all.
So why didn't you kind of stay with that path of musical theater? That wasn't your thing?
I can't dance.
Oh, you can't dance?
At all. At all. Or I don't know. I would like to think I'm a better actor now than I was then because I'm less self-conscious than I was as an 8-year-old. But yeah, definitely can't dance. Not a great actor.
Well,
so
I feel like you could still, be in musicals. Well, I guess there's a lot of dancing in musicals, but
yeah. It was, I actually did musicals for a long time. Or I guess not a long time, but ever since I auditioned for that one, I did musicals all throughout middle school and high school. And I was always the understudy. Uh-huh. And that's when it dawned on me. I was like, oh, okay. I'm the understudy because there's 3 elements, acting, dancing, and singing. And I have 1 of them, maybe 1.5. That's why they're like, you're the backup person, but you're missing some of these.
And you're let me just focus on the singing portion.
Yeah,
I can do that.
Exactly.
I can do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. I want to know when you did the voice acting for the peanut butter commercial, though.
Oh, yeah. So when I was living in Rochester, my first internship. So I have a music business degree and we had to have 2 internships. And one of them was at a commercial recording studio called Market Hold Productions. Uh-huh. And so a lot of my work was just was doing message on hold for like Wegmans and other local stores. So I was sitting there with the WAV file, like raising it when there's a voice actor and then lowering it for the jingle and like that.
Oh, so you were just doing the production on it.
Yeah, so I was doing some of the production on it, but then they got a script last minute for this peanut butter commercial, and it was like a all-natural, I remember it being like all-natural vegan peanut butter kind of thing, and the company sent it over and was like, we don't have a lot of time to do this, can you do it? And the boss said, oh yeah, absolutely. And then just found me and my other buddy that was still in school too. And he was like, you're going to be voice actors today. So we went in and recorded the commercial.
Oh, that's cool.
And then my buddy Dan did like a whole little like animated video for it and everything that day.
So
so we could turn it out.
How old were you when you did this?
So this was in college.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. College age.
But then after that, I actually did a couple scripts. If they didn't want to hire a voice actor or they didn't have the time, I would go in and do it. So I did a couple Spanish ones too, and other.
So you speak Spanish?
Yeah, not fluently. Okay. I studied abroad when I was in college, so I had like working knowledge kind of that's now fallen off. But at the time, I just remember I think they needed someone specifically that it was like a speaking Spanish but American accent. So I was like, I can do that.
Perfect.
So
that's cool. So we talked a little bit about it, but you released your first single off of, just the name Jess. You were saying caused a lot of turmoil. You know, they were putting on all platforms, but it was on the wrong name for anybody that was named Jess. So Jess Wojo, if you can find it, search her music.
Yes.
It's up there.
Yeah, I think I thought it would be like a manifestation thing. Like if I just put it out under one name, it'll be like Beyonce or Jessie J or something like that. And that was not the case at all. I learned that very quickly.
But so I want to talk about the singles that you do have out. Your first single under Jess Wojo is Stop Smelling the Roses. Mm-hmm. You put that out in 2021.
Yeah.
So how was the kind of first release off of, you know, this project, and did you get a good, you know, feedback on it, or how did it progress?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, first thing that comes to mind is every release has been progressively better than the last, because I think every time I put something out, I learned. You know, my first release, Betty Lou Lane under Jess, I quickly learned Jess was not the way to go. So then by the time I got to Stop Smelling the Roses, that one was my first co-write. So that was a cool new experience. And that one I worked with this girl, Brianna Tyson, who's a musician in Nashville as well and super talented, really experienced. So getting to do that with her was really neat. I feel like at that point I was really starting to kind of get my footing and meeting other people around Nashville to play on it and produce it and give me feedback. And as far as how it was received, I mean, it's a slow song. It's kind of a, not necessarily a sad song, but definitely a more thought provoking song. Uh-huh. So it didn't get as much of a response as say like Gaslighter, which is kind of like a cool like empowerment album, more fun to listen to. But I do get, I feel like people who have listened to my entire discography of four songs at this point do say that that one sticks out as one that like you may not put it on repeat because it's kind of sad, but it is meaningful. And I think I wrote that at a time when I was feeling like I knew everything that I needed to do to be successful in music, but like also need to work a day job and take care of my animals and have a relationship and, you know, maybe sleep sometimes. So it was kind of just, it came out of this feeling of like being very grateful to get to, you know, aspire to be a musician and work in music, but also being like, man, I wish I could just hit pause because I don't feel like there's enough time in the day to do everything that I want to do.
So you work at ASCAP full time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you work in music licensing or for clubs,
clubs
and bars, general licensing. Mm-hmm. So what day in and day out, you're just like reviewing, catalogs of music, or I don't really know what goes into music licensing.
Yeah. So long story short, there's general licensing and then there's membership. So membership is the one that like deals with artists directly and helps them with that kind of side of things. Uh-huh. I'm the one that my main job is educating bars and restaurants, music venues, basically anywhere that has music publicly about why they need public performance licensing and trying to help them get that set up.
Gotcha.
So that's the 9 to 5. I work remotely doing that, which is great. And then just try to work on music in the evening and in between.
Nice. So do you, when you write, do you write with other people in town or is it mostly just you solo kind of writing your own stuff?
It's been kind of different every time. I very much feel like I'm still trying to figure out what works best. The first song that I came out with was one that I just sat down and wrote top to bottom. Didn't really do a lot of edits on it before it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Versus LA Paradise. Actually, now that I think of it, LA Paradise was kind of like that too. I sat down, wrote it in one take, but I did get together with another musician, Nathan Kohlberg here in Nashville, just to kind of clean it up because that was a song that I wrote in 2013. So I felt like I needed someone else that didn't have an emotional attachment to it to say like, okay, what about this feels kind of clunky? Like, is there anything that sounds kind of juvenile since I wrote this when I was a juvenile? Like, I needed someone objective to look at it and kind of help clean it up. So I feel like if I had to say right now, I write most of the song on my own, but then like to get another set of eyes and ears to just be like, okay, completely emotionally detached. How does this hit you? What do we need to fix?
And then you may rewrite some lines.
Yeah, or, and we'll rewrite some lines, or, you know, if another writer will have different melody ideas to not have to change the words but make it less clunky, like that kind of thing. Because I feel like I very much write, like, stories. And so sometimes my biggest hang-up can be, like, I have a lot to say, and so it gets too wordy. Uh-huh. So then trying to condense that
clean it
more
up a little bit. Yeah. So do you have anything in the works as far as your next release, or can you announce anything that's coming out?
So nothing that is announceable at this point in terms of a date.
But there is something.
I actually got asked to compete in a songwriting competition that the due date is in like a week and a half. So I'm going to be getting together with my producer, Zach Hughes, on Tuesday, and we're going to try to cut a demo for that. And if that goes well and that turns out well, that'll probably be the next single.
Awesome.
So it's actually another song that I'm going to resurrect from my college days.
Very cool. Very cool. So as we talked a little bit about, like, you know, booking shows and stuff, you don't have anything on the works right now, but maybe doing more songwriter kind of rounds and stuff. Is that what you'd be interested in kind of getting out in Nashville and doing?
Yeah, I definitely like to do more writer's round style gigs, especially because I am still figuring out my writing style as well. So it's kind of kill two birds with one stone.
Oh, yeah.
Get to network with some people, meet some other people to write with and play with, as well as playing my stuff out. I do have a show coming up in June. It's June 16th. It's going to be Honey Tree Meadery's Summer Solstice Jam. I don't know if that's the official title.
I love that place, though. That's a really cool spot.
Yeah, it is a cool spot. It's right across from Basement East, which is cool. But even in there, it's just very, like, relaxing.
Oh, there's
a lot
of
plants and everything. Yeah. And the staff is super nice.
And the meat is good too.
Yeah.
Have you had the meat?
Yeah,
there?
I have.
So good.
Tried the pineapple one, I think.
Oh, I haven't had that one.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It was good. But yeah, all their staff is super nice too. So I played my first writer's round in Nashville there last month.
Oh, okay.
So they asked me if I would do the Solstice show. So I think it's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be an all day or all evening kind of thing, but I know there's going to be multiple bands and they're going to do an outdoor stage and stuff. So,
and that's June 16th.
June 16th.
June 16th.
At Honey Tree Meadery.
Check it out, y'all. I know it's kind of a ways away, but, you know, this will replay later on the radio too. So hopefully it'll be around that time.
And it's in the summer. So
it'll be hot.
Plan your vacations around it.
For sure. Well, thanks so much, Jess, for stopping by. I kind of want to hear another live tune. Would you want to play Gaslighter for us?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, sweet.
Toxic friend, I'd say I'm fine. I'd say it's nice to talk again. But I'm not like you, I won't lie to you. Won't fall to your friendly fire. Get drinks at 5 o'clock, complain our boss is such a jerk. Solve all of our problems by the time we've downed our third. You even brought me aspirin when my head began to hurt. So what happened? We had all these normal things. Now you're absent and I'm wondering how. We went from flowers at the door to now I'm crying on the floor. 'Cause you're a toxic friend. I'd say I'm fine, I'd say it's nice to talk again, but I'm not like you, I won't lie to you. Won't fall to your friendly fire. Know what you are, you're a gaslighter. Gaslighter. I guess you'll keep on swearing that it never happened. I know it did, I've got the receipts from my therapist. You call me crazy, who are you trying to convince? Me or yourself, I've gotten healthy, so it must be you. I guess it's you, 'cause you're a toxic friend. I'd say I'm fine, I'd say it's nice to talk again, but I'm not like you, I won't lie to you. Won't fall to your friendly fire. Know what you are, you're a gaslighter. Gaslighter. You set fire to our reality, burned up all of our memories. You held the match, I held the mirror. Now through the smoke I'm seeing clear. You're a toxic friend. I'd say I'm fine, I'd say it's nice to talk again, but I'm not like you, I won't lie to you. Won't fall to your friendly fire. Know what you are, you're a gaslighter. Toxic friend. Can say I'm fine, can say I'm finding me again, but I'm not like you, I won't lie to you. Won't be there to stoke your fire. All that you are is a gaslighter. 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 Gaslighter.
Thanks for tuning in to Notable Nashville Podcast, broadcast from Acme Radio Live, right in the heart of downtown Nashville. Check us out on the socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And if you like it, you can also support this podcast on Anchor by clicking the link in the platform that you are listening on. Hey, until next time, thanks for listening to Notable Nashville Podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by Smokers Abbey. They've got everything you could want. Craft cigars, quality pipe tobacco, a huge liquor and draft beer selection, everything you need to find rest for your soul. Smokers Abbey has two locations around the Nashville area, one right in the heart of East Nashville and the other over in Gallatin, Tennessee. So what are you waiting for? Head over to Smokers Abbey today. They're open late.